This is the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast, helping you run your restaurant better.
Welcome back to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. We thank you listeners out there for joining us. It's been so fun as we've been recording more and more of these podcasts through the pandemic for me selfishly to meet lots of new people. Anybody that knows me outside of the podcast knows that that is one of the joys of my life is to meet new people and learn new things. And as well, it's been fun to get the feedback from you guys. We really appreciate you guys listening each and every week when we post one of these. I know that you guys have got lots of opportunities to listen to hundreds of podcasts that get new ones get posted every day. And so I know that a lot of you guys have choices out there. So we appreciate you guys spending time with us each and every week. As we started doing these podcasts kind of really at the beginning of the pandemic, we switched the format and today is no different. We are joined by a couple of really cool guests. And it's fun because for longtime listeners, you guys know that it was primarily focused on the tech side of things. And it's been so much fun because the last probably 3 to 6 months, I've gotten a lot more restaurant tours. And today is no different. We've got some restaurant finance people as well as some technology partners that are going to be joining us. And so I'm going to introduce Susan. I'm going to actually let Susan introduce herself. Susan works for Sage, a software product. And so, Susan, why don't you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about what you get to do with the Sage organization on a day in and day out basis?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for having me. So I am the head of the hospitality vertical here at Sage Intacct. And so basically, I work really closely together with our hospitality customers, our restaurant customers, and really showcase their successes. But I also advocate, I understand their needs and advocate for their needs to our product team to ensure that the new features that we build out with our products meet restaurants and hotels as well, specific needs. And I also work really closely with industry associations such as the National Restaurant Association and make sure that I have a finger on the pulse of what is going on in the industry so that I can feed that back to our customers and basically just bridge that gap between what is going on in the industry and in our customers as well. And just to mention about Sage Intacct and who we are, we're a leading provider of cloud accounting and financial software, specializing in my vertical for the hospitality industry. So we work with restaurants that are large and small, independent, franchisee, franchisor, and across all of the segments.
Wonderful. And I know we'll dig into it, Susan, a little bit later about kind of what the Intacct product does and how it's serving restaurants each and every day. We are also joined by somebody else. Sean, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them a little bit about who you are and what you get to do on a day in and day out basis.
Of course. Thanks, Jeremy. My name is Sean Skirl. I'm the VP of Finance and Accounting for Tendergreens. I'll get into me in a second. Tendergreens is the reason why I'm here. So we are a 27-unit chain. We believe in good food for everyone every day. We are a chef-founded company, chef-based. Every kitchen of ours has its own executive chef. We have a very experienced, talented chef culinary team at the head of our menu. We believe in sustainability. It's at the core of what we do, from our food and our partnerships with our farmers, ranchers, fisheries, et cetera. So it's an unbelievable company, and truthfully, it was the food that made me interested in the company and why I, a big part of the reason why I stay here. And what I do for them, I run the accounting and finance wing. I'm in charge of all the financial reporting and the obviously the accounting team controls processes. And most importantly, and where the partnership came with Sage Intacct was systems. If systems isn't part of your controller, VP of finance, CFO's life, it needs to be. I think it's more important than ever, especially with COVID. And Jeremy, I know we'll jump into that, so I won't steal your thunder.
Absolutely. And I don't mind you doing a plug for Tendergreens because your guys' product is fantastic. happen to be right up the road from the Irvine Spectrum store, and we do frequent it at the office here when we're in the office and heading down to the Spectrum. So no problem with the shameless plug. And for those that haven't had a chance to experience the product, it is quite fantastic. And Sean's not lying. The value you get for the product is not only really, really tastes good, but it's good for you. So I love that. I love that we're able to talk. And selfishly, I love to talk to people and brands that that I enjoy both frequenting as a customer as well as learning more about what they're doing.
Before we get too deep into the recording for today, I wanted to remind you guys of one of the partners that was on the show back in April. The founder of Pop Menu, Brennan, came on, and we were talking about reputation management and really managing your online presence. And I know for myself, one of the things that I always look for before I'm going out to a new restaurant or to any restaurant for that matter is kind of where they're at from a presence perspective. What does their menu look like on the web? And so the guys at Pop Menu have done a fantastic job of really managing their way through that. And so if you guys haven't already checked out the podcast that dropped back in April, go check it out. And they partnered with us on the podcast to offer $100 off of your first month if you go to popmenu.com/tech guys and check their stuff out. Great company, great product, and I would recommend anybody take a look at it.
Today's conversation really, you know, is going to be the marrying of how Sean and his team work with Susan and their team to really manage their way through the pandemic using data and using systems. And so really the crux of what we want to get into for our audiences is, how did we get to this place? What did it look like? And so, Susan, I'm going to ask you real quick, you know, talk to me about what a normal engagement as people are starting to get into data. You know, a lot of people put systems in place so that they can get the data. Sean, I'm certain you live off the data that comes out of the restaurants, comes out of the point of sale system, comes out of any of these other systems that you may be needing to use. But the data is only good if you can make better business decisions out of it. So, Susan, why don't you talk to our audience a little bit about what are people's goals typically when they're coming into an engagement with the Sage team on the hospitality division side? What are they looking to do, and what would that process look like as they're engaged? You know, the finance team, the operations team, and whatnot, as they're starting to work with your professional services group.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is actually also a great question for Sean as well, because he has a lot of experience in this, doing this for 10 Degrees. But basically, a lot of times what happens is the data is very siloed in various different places. So there could be data in your POS system. There could be some data in some Excel spreadsheets. There could be data in various, that just lives on somebody's laptop somewhere. I mean, it could be in various different places. And that data being siloed is not helpful, because then in order to consolidate that data to be able to actually see a picture is very time consuming and very tedious and not very accurate. And that, you know, is what's critical for restaurants, especially during situations like we just came at or coming out of the pandemic, where you really need to be able to see real-time access to your data in order to get insights and make decisions. So that's one thing that we hear very, very frequently with regards to data.
Well, thank you for that. Sean, I know Susan kind of teed you up a little bit, but why don't you talk to me about what the world looked like before you guys kind of went down this path, and if you were even there at Tender Greens. You know, Susan talks a lot, and I'm sure this is going to resonate with a lot of our restaurant clients out there that are listening, which is exactly what you talked about. If you don't have a system in place, if you don't have a core system that's coming from one straight through all the way through to finance, you've got a lot of disparate systems. You're spending a lot of time and energy. Is that what you used to have at Tender Greens, or have you guys always had kind of a stream of flow of information, and then you guys just tweaked it as you guys have been going through the pandemic and working some of those things?
There's a lot there. So the decision to go to Sage Intacct predated me by about 6 months.
Okay.
Or maybe even a year, because obviously you make a decision to switch technology, and then by the time you implement it, there's time that passes. What I will say is Tender Greens has always been a technology forward company. With that being said, the systems that were in place at the time, you know, where we were able to solve with Sage Intacct was the ability to have a cloud-based system, the ability to log in, you know, anywhere, anytime, seamlessly, and to be able to your point, to have that data at our fingertips. You know, with our other systems, there was VPNing, and it wasn't as fluid, the GL system, as what we got with Sage Intacct. So when I came on board, and as I've said this story a few times. I used to, in full disclosure, not like Sage Intacct very much when I first began with Tendergreens. And the word, I did change the four-letter word hate to the four-letter word love with Sage Intacct over the years. And I think this is important. And, you know, in terms of even advice when you're looking at a system, you have to make sure you have the right partners. Beyond just the system, but even consultants when you're implementing, and that they get what you're doing, because you can have an unbelievable system like Sage Intacct, but a bad implementation is going to make a good system even bad. And so we've spent, you know, much of the last, you know, different pockets of time within the last 6 years really leaning into Sage Intacct. And I went to one of our best partners and I said to them, and this was the precursor to it all, I said, hey, of all the systems you integrate with, we love you guys a lot. Of all the systems you integrate with, which is the best ERP? And don't tell me it's Sage Intacct. And they all laughed. And I'm like, it's Sage Intacct, isn't it? And they said, yeah. I said, okay, well, tell me why. Because I don't know what I have in front of me if you're telling me it's the best. And the open API framework that Sage Intacct offers, along with the ability to work well with others, they love their development team. And I've truthfully over the years formed some unbelievable relationships. And if I could go back and do it all over again, I would have selected Sage Intacct because they're like-minded people and they are true partners in your business. And you don't want someone that's going to sell you a software and just kind of, you know, move on to the next. You want someone that really cares about your business, cares about you. And we've found that within Sage Intacct. Kind of moving on our journey, we, like I said, we made lots of different decisions in terms of API integrations, in terms of changing the way in which we accounted for things within the system, which made it clunky. And, you know, fast forwarding all the way to COVID, I was able to instantaneously generate a report for the stores for just the COVID locations and see that in real time. Prior to Sage Intacct, that would have taken me hours. Mm-hmm. And then I would have had issues with potential connections and errors and timing out because it was feeding from one system through an integrated processor to Excel. And then sometimes that wouldn't work. And then if you made an entry, you'd have to refresh all the data. It was just a very clunky system. And obviously, anytime you're manipulating things in Excel, there's always room for errors.
Yep.
And with Sage Intacct, I didn't have any of that. And I was able to tell my boss within 10 minutes, Here's what we need to look at. Here's how we're able to pivot. It's been a very pleasant journey over the past, you know, business aside, over the past year. So
yeah, well, business has been a little rough the last 18 months. But yeah, and I really want to confirm this first before we go any further. Are you sure you're in finance? You're not in sales and marketing? Because first we started pitching the brand, and now we're pitching this Sage Intacct stuff. So, you know, I just want to make sure you're still on the finance side there, Sean, because you know, you're playing a sales and marketing guy on TV here this afternoon. I'm teasing.
I'm passionate about what I do. I think, you know, having passion behind what you do, I think is very important. And, yeah, and I'm very particular about who I select. You know, I come from public accounting, over 10 years of experience there. And at the end of the day, anybody could sign an audit opinion. Mm-hmm. Who's it going to be to partner your business? Who's going to make your business better? And who do you want to work with? And that's ultimately what it comes down to.
Yeah. Well, and I love, I'm going to reiterate your point that says, you know, and we talk about it often on the podcast, is the selection of the product oftentimes is, you know, 20% of the issue. Really, the 80% is who are you partnering with? Not just on the product side, but who are you partnering with to make sure that the product can do what you need it to do, as well as that they're willing to go to battle with you, because there's going to be times that it's going to be tense and you're going to want something and a product might not do it exactly. And that's where having a true business partnership can really make all of the difference in the world. It's not just a piece of software, because if you don't have a good implementer, none of it matters. Is that a fair reassessment or restatement of something you said, Sean?
Yes, absolutely.
So, well, I'm going to roll back just a little bit, and I'm going to pass it over to Susan, and then I'm going to ask Sean, you to talk about how you guys specifically do it. But for those in our audience that aren't familiar with the Sage Intacct product, I'm sure everybody's heard the word Sage or the name Sage. And when I think of Sage, or at least I did in the past, it was a big accounting package like a Great Plains or a Mass 90 or whatever. Talk to me, Susan, a little bit about what Sage as an organization is, because you guys are multinational. You guys have, you know, have tons of different users out there, tons of different products. And then let's talk about specifically, you know, kind of what does Sage do as a general rule? And then what does the InTech product do specifically? And not that you want to talk about competitors, but what are some other things in and around Sage InTech that other people are doing? And then Sean, we'll talk about how you and Tender Green specifically uses that product after Susan gets through explaining it.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. And Sage is our parent company. We were intact and we were purchased by Sage, I want to say 2 years ago, and it's been great. It's been great working together, and it's definitely expanded our global reach. But we still operate in a lot of ways like intact as we did before. And one of the big differences is that as intact, we were built from the ground up as a cloud-based solution. And so there's no retrofitting for our customers. There's no worrying about on-site IT or on-premise IT that needs to be, or ongoing updates that need to be configured or any of that. So the fact that it's cloud-based and built 100% cloud-based from the beginning is definitely a big one, especially during the pandemic, as we've seen many restaurants, and Sean can probably talk about this too, where their employees needed to work from home. And that was made much more difficult if you're not using a cloud-based system. Whereas if you're using a cloud-based system, then your employees could be working from home and they're logging into the system and they have access to all the same data and without missing a beat, basically. So that's one thing that's really important. And that is kind of one of the strengths that we have here as Sage InTact, as opposed to some of the other accounting software that's available out there.
And so is it a full ERP? Is it ERP plus reporting? Talk to me a little bit about, you know, because again, for those in the audience, and I think I know, but I want to make sure that we are clear. Is it what you guys are producing financials out of? It's what you guys are taking the transactional data into. It's what you guys are able to, and maybe Sean, you can key in a little bit on how Tender Greens is using it. But is intact a full ERP end to end? Is it, you know, talk to me a little bit about what are the features and functions that are part of the InTech solution beyond just kind of basic reporting needs that Sean alluded to earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are the accounting and the financial aspect. And then our parent company Sage also has HCM and some others modules as well. But we really kind of grew up through the accounting and the financial aspect. So managing financial processes, GL, helping our customers to close the monthly close much quicker and easier with less resources, for example. And we also have a budgeting and planning tool as well. And another strength of ours is on reporting. So our reporting, and again, you know, Sean could speak to this in specifics as well for Tender Greens, but our reporting is something that our customers tell us really sets us above others. It's real-time reporting, and it's customizable. And basically, our customers can customize the reports any way that they need to, but they also see a dashboard as well, so that they see what they need to see at a glance. And it's customizable, so maybe you have a different dashboard for the CFO than you would for, let's say, a division manager. And that's very easy to customize and to build out, and that's something that our customers really appreciate. So those are two aspects that are very strong in terms of what we offer and that our customers appreciate.
Wonderful. Well, Sean, would you mind taking it from here and kind of talking a little bit about how, you know, you guys have been on the product for a while. And so why don't you talk about the different aspects of what you guys use within the InTact product and kind of how your guys' progression, because I'm guessing you didn't do it all in overnight. I'm sure it took a little while to get up to where you guys are today, before we really dig into kind of what you guys were able to do through COVID, because I definitely don't want to finish this conversation without talking about some of the remarkable results you guys have had through COVID. But why don't you give our audience a little bit about what you guys use within the tool set and so that we can talk about the value and how it's been delivered for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Sue said something that kind of made me think of a conversation I had. So I'll start with the end and then go back to the beginning. And the conversation I had was with a fellow colleague, a CFO of another brand, and we were just chatting. And she says to me, almost simultaneously, we asked each other the same thing. How have you guys fared through COVID? Do you enjoy working from home? Do you want to go back to the office? And she goes, I hate working from home. I can't wait to go back to the office. It's been so clunky. It's been so inefficient. And she's like, but I'm intrigued to hear how you're doing because I know the way you are with systems and all this and all that. And I just started laughing. And I said, I've loved it. We closed the books faster than we ever have. I was like, I don't know if it's because there's no water cooler talk now or what, but it just, you know, everybody's at home. They're refreshed. They're not coming in out of traffic. And the systems are dialed in. Everything is functioning. Everything is flowing. And, you know, I couldn't be happier. So, you know, and kind of that's the end. That's where we're at today. But, you know, dialing it back and how we got there and how we use Sage Intacct, I think, is what the question was. And that, you know, truthfully, you know, I look at Sage Intacct as a robot. And a robot in terms of Sage Intacct is really the body of the robot. And you could buy your Sage Intacct robot if you want. But it allows you, you know, I don't want to compare it to Mr. Potato Head, but like it allows you to essentially plug in, you know, if you want to use a different version of, let's say, an invoice automation, you can go to a third party and, mm-hmm. and Sage Intacct will say, you know what, go for it. We have an open API framework. We work well with everybody. And some of the technology that, you know, we've been able to achieve and some of the efficiency we've been able to achieve, it's amazing. And an example I'll give you, our invoice partner, they not only integrate and send all the information over from their system, but they're sending copies of an invoice. And one of the things that, you know, has been a pain point over the years, when you leave a vendor, mm-hmm. you have to download all the information, pay for the CD, pay for the, you know, the jump drive, whatever it is, with this particular partner and Sage Intacct capabilities, literally, if I were to end the contract with that partner, all the data is already in Sage Intacct. It's a clean cut. I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. So obviously, both need a partner to make that happen. But it's just some of the capabilities. So, you know, we do use the financial reporting suite within Sage Intacct. And there are standard reports that Sage Intacct gives you called canned reporting. And there's also a huge suite of reporting that we actually built out ourselves. Fully customizable. I mean, we're able to pull in, you know, non-statistical data such as, you know, transactions, you know, by day part so that we can calculate things like average check, and those kind of metrics. So it allows us a lot of flexibility. And look, we're continuing to retool. I mean, right now I just added 30 GL codes to fully bifurcate even further our revenue. And we're going to take our reporting to a whole nother level. Call it version 3.0, 4.0, if you will. But we're constantly looking at our systems. We're constantly trying to retool. But the reporting suite inside Sage Intacct, it effectively, as Susan said, it's customizable, and the world is your oyster. I mean, you can essentially dream up whatever you want, and you can make it happen within their system. Obviously, you need to know what you're doing, but it's fairly intuitive, and it's you know, between reporting groups and being able to group, you know, account groups and all that. It's very multifaceted.
I love
then,
that.
You know, we also use the standard GL system. So, you know, it is a full end-to-end ERP. We do our reconciliations external to Sage Intacct, and that's just a preference that we've had. We've always done that. I kind of like the idea of having two separate systems working together sort of as a checks and balances. So that works out well for us in our ecosystem. Mm-hmm. But as I said, I think, you know, Sage Intacct has their HCM platform. Sage Intacct has fixed assets, which we actually use. Sage Intacct has so many different, you know, they have BankRec software. They have all these different aspects and things that, you know, you may go external for. They have all in-house. But they also give the option to say, look, if you don't like this product within our suite, here are a bunch of partners on our marketplace that you can look to integrate with. Sage Intacct is all about keeping the family, and it's even their marketplace partners and everybody, it's just a very good working relationship. And there's, you know, no ill will on how you want to build your ideal robot.
I love that analogy of it being a robot. And again, longtime listeners will know that oftentimes we talk about the idea of the open API architecture, which you mentioned a multitude of times, is then your business isn't hamstrung by the systems that you've picked. Because if you need to move to, you know, say you decided to go down the route of doing BankRec through the Intacct product, but then said, you know what, we really want to do something external to that, and you could. And again, we've talked about it, you know, many of our listeners will know that is a core component to any system today, is you don't know what's coming around the corner, which really brings me to my next line of questioning. One of the things that intrigued me a lot, Sean, as I was setting up this conversation, was really about how did COVID impact your guys' business? And I'll start with kind of your accounting team, and you alluded to it earlier, but the fact that you guys were running a cloud-based ERP and they were able to do their work, essentially, did you just turn the switch one day and everybody started working from home and you didn't have to change a ton of your processes? Talk to me a little bit about what that looked like for your team, purely on the accounting and finance side, because I know a lot of other restaurateurs, it was tough. And some of those same restaurant groups, the only people that were in the office were the accounting group because they needed, you know, the weekly packet to come in, or they needed to process paperwork in a different way. Talk to me a little bit about what that looked like for your team before we jump into operations and how it impacted operations being able to serve up the data.
Yeah, I smile at this question. It's something that truthfully I'm proud of. When I started, you know, just kind of tee up this discussion, when I started at Tender Green, we probably had about six, call it a half a dozen systems in terms of technology. Fast forward to pre-pandemic, we were almost at two dozen, just to kind of give you an idea of what our infrastructure looked like. And that's not just accounting systems, and that's whether it's, you know, marketing with, you know, our website and our app and HR and operations. So that's the full Tender Green's ecosystem, if you will, just so we're clear. I personally, if I was managing 24 systems in accounting, I'd probably pull my hair out. So there is a diminishing return to some system volume.
Yes.
And all that to say, you know, I always start this question or conversation with when my IT team said, you know, in a panic, Sean, we're most concerned about accounting. What do you guys need in order to work remotely? And I literally sat there for a good full 2 minutes thinking, and said, I just need to figure out how to print checks remotely. I think everything else is handled. And so we solved for that through, it was actually sunsetted, which we came up with another solution, but Google Print Services allowed my, at the time, assistant controller and payroll person to print from their homes to my house. And so I was running checks to FedEx to send out.
Wow.
And, you know, then Google Print Services went away. We moved to more of an electronic type of payment system for our payroll needs. And the beauty with AP in general is that AP has always, this was probably 5 years ago, my AP manager went on PTO and she taught me how to run the checks while she was gone. When she came back, I said, you do this every week? And she said, yeah. I said, this needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately I made her goal at that time to convert 75% of our vendors to ACH.
Yep.
And by the time COVID hit, I mean, we were at 90 to 95%. So we were only sending out maybe a handful of checks every week. And we have someone going, and then we parlayed the person that was going into the office once a week to check mail. And we were able to get our AP, my assistant controller, to system print checks to the office. So when the person was going in to check the mail, she would stuff the five checks or so and send them off. So that is the only thing in our ecosystem that is paper. We actually just had a big initiative because we've been paperless for just about 7 years. All of our documents are now, you know, electronic. And so we just made a big initiative to shred all of our offsite storage. So we're now saving an offsite storage cost that we're no longer incurring annually.
I love that.
The quick answer to your question is nothing changed for us. If anything, we got better, we got faster. and we were able to pivot and give real-time data and, you know, when it was needed.
Well, thanks for that story, and it does remind me, we got a new controller 2 years ago, and the first thing he came in, he had that very same story that you said, where he's like, this is how you guys do this? Well, guess what? We're going to fix this, and now I think I sign 3 checks a week, 2 checks a week, maybe, at the most, whereas it used to be 40 and 50 checks a week that I'd be signing and sending out for our own AP and within our own business, and now everything goes via ACH. I get a electronic thing that says, do you want to pay these bills, yes or no, and it's super simple. So thank you for that. One of the things that intrigued me, Sean, is really what you guys were able to do. And you've alluded to it a couple of times with the amount of data that you're able to get out of the system. And talk to me a little bit about how that process worked and how it really helped. Because as we've been recording this and as I continue to hear stories of people through the pandemic, some have really struggled, some have grown, some have tried to stay the same, some have closed down restaurants, some have opened new restaurants. Talk to me a little bit about how did Tender Greens fare through the pandemic, and what do you think that Sage InTech had to do with helping you guys through that, you know, the last 18 months of real pain and suffering of the pandemic?
So, in terms of revenues, I think the industry in a whole took a huge hit. I mean, we were at one point down, you know, over 50%, which was very alarming, and you know, it's code red and go into cash preservation mode and how are we going to survive, and you know what, you know, every day it was a different cash flow forecast the rest of the year, literally changing daily, hourly. Mm-hmm. And you know, and that changed with the governor's mandate. You know, it was patios are open, no patios are closed, you know, dine-ins at 50%, dine-ins closed. So it was, you know, every day it was a different story. And you know, when you went to the grocery stores, it was like the zombie apocalypse that hit, and there was no meat and toilet paper, as everybody knows. And, you know, we, within 36 hours, you know, one of the creative things that our team came up with that I was very proud of, and one of the most exciting things I've ever seen any company be able to do, within 36 hours, we literally flipped our supply chain on its head, and we were able to give out grocery boxes and sell those as part of our ecosystem. So what you couldn't get at the grocery stores, you could get at Tender Greens. And, you know, kind of to be cute, we were throwing a roll of toilet paper in, you know, some of our produce boxes, and it was a hit. Our communities were, you know, very happy with it, and it helped sustain us for a very long time. And in terms of Sage InTech, you know, I think you got to kind of rewind back to when we became really efficient with Sage InTech. I think, you know, it was kind of a natural progression. When we implemented and we really leaned into it and we started automating and getting really efficient with our system, we were able to reduce overhead by 20%. And look, we never laid anybody off. It was a kind of natural attrition the way it happened. People put in notice and were like, you know what? Do we need to replace them? No, let's leave in the system. Well, let's try this new process and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at that time, overhead went down roughly 20%. And then all of a sudden, we started adding location after location after location. I think it was like 80% growth we experienced, and we didn't add anybody else. And I was like, wow, we can continue going with this. And the restaurant industry in general, I mean, the delivery partner scene has obviously become prevalent amongst everybody, especially through COVID. That was part of our strategy long before COVID hit. So thank God for us, we were able to focus on different things like grocery boxes and certain things, and not how are we going to process our data? How are we, you know, how are we going to do these basic survival things that everybody else was focusing on and trying to plug the hole, you know, the holes in the boat. Whereas, you know, water was coming in and everybody was taking on water, but I don't think we were taking on nearly as much water as others. And I would say Sage InTech really has allowed us to be efficient. And you know, we've had this discussion so many times, like, how many stores do you think we can get to? 50 is the magical number that we think we can get to without adding to our team. I don't know if that's true, but I want to see it in its works. But, I mean, we've been able to, you know, thankfully I didn't have to lay anybody off. And Sage InTech is really the thing for that. I have to be, because, you know, who knows what would have happened. And we already are at a very thin skeleton crew, if you will, because of the systems we had. So there wasn't much that needed to change for us. We were kind of already ahead of it. And, you know, like I said, we were probably one of the more fortunate in terms of systems and processes and things that we already had pre-pandemic. Without it, I don't know what we would have done. I mean, I was speaking to somebody at the RFDC, which is the Restaurant Finance Conference, in November of 19. And he was speaking with the partner that we do the invoice automation. And like, you got to talk to Sean. And so I talked to the guy, and he's telling me how they're doing invoice processing. And he has four people for 15 restaurants doing AP. Every month, the store would put in a banker's box the month's invoices and ship it to the home office. And I was just, it was just mind blowing to me that with things as simple as Dropbox and email and so many different just basic technologies out there, that people were still doing this. And, you know, it's a big thing out in the news now that, you know, restaurant companies in general were so far behind, and you need a lean in technology now more so than ever, because who knows when the next quote unquote COVID is going to hit, and obviously we'll be more prepared, but you know, it's certainly, I don't want to say it's only a matter of time, but I feel like there's always going to be something and you just need to be prepared.
Well, and I love your attitude, for lack of a better adjective, because really you're in a place, Sean, where you want to serve up the data so that the business can operate the business rather than being a hindrance on what it is that the business wants to do. You've got your system set up so that you can pivot when they need to pivot and when they need the data to be able to get, you know, to make different decisions, whether that be, do we take on another third-party delivery partner? Do we not? Do we charge a different price? Do we not? Do we move forward with this new LTO or not? All of those things, it sounds like, and I know I didn't hear all of those items, but I can, you know, having worked with thousands of restaurants over the years, I know that those are oftentimes the conversations that need to happen. And I see it both ways. I see restaurant finance people being able to deliver those things. And then I have the others that want the banker's box to show up every week, or the delivery truck to show up with all of the AP invoices every single week, or whatever those things end up being. Because that's the way they're used to it. That's the way they're comfortable. And they're just, that's what they do.
Today's episode is brought to you by the team over at 7Shifts. You guys may recognize that name because I had their founder on the show in July talking about the inception of what it is that they do related to labor management and staff management and scheduling. Great guy. Great origin story related to growing up in the restaurants and solving a real problem for his family's business. You may also recognize their name because they were recently in the news because they just took a $20 million round of funding from the Union Square Hospitality Group, which those unfamiliar, it's Danny Myers out of New York City, his group that committed to work with the 7Shifts team and help fund their continued growth. For listeners of the podcast, you guys can check out the software for free for 90 days by going to 7shifts.com/restaurant-technology-guys, and they would love to talk with you. Great restaurant people, great technologists, and a really great product.
And so talk to me a little bit about what that looked like, and just, you know, I guess, did I miss anything in what you articulated, which is really that focus on being able to be a resource for the team to be able to do what they need to do rather than being an anchor and a hindrance to the growth of the operational side of the business?
Yeah, look, you're absolutely right. You touched on, you know, I didn't say some of those things, but you took the words out of my mouth. Let's just put it that way. You know, in terms of the people that, you know, are stuck in their own ways, look, my biggest recommendation in terms of that is, you know, the approach that we really take is maybe more of an approach is, what takes the longest in your system? And how do you make it, you know, more efficient, more effective? And this is one of my favorite things to say. She's actually now in charge of payroll. She says to me, Sean, with all these systems and all this automation, we're never going to learn anymore. And I looked at her and smiled and I said, do you remember when you used to input AP invoices? I said, how much were you learning then?
Yeah.
And she said, she looked at me, she smiled. She goes, good point.
Love
and
that.
It's not about taking people's jobs away. It's about enhancing and giving people meaningful work. You know, someone's sitting there inputting an invoice. Guess what? When we pulled that out, First of all, our financials became much more accurate. Within 5 days, I was producing financials pre kind of automation that had anywhere between 100 to 500 basis point fluctuation between preliminary to financial to final delivery. Now I know that when I give preliminary financials within 4 to 5 days, that's done with a 10% at most fluctuation, 0.1%, 10 basis points, excuse me, I misspoke there. So going from 100 to, 500 to and 100 basis point fluctuation to 10 basis point fluctuation, mm-hmm. you can make meaningful decisions right in real time off of 10 basis points. That's been a huge thing. I think it's just about focusing on what takes the most amount of time and what's repetitive. How do you automate repetition? Because you're not gonna learn anything. You end up being just another cog in the wheel, if you will. And I really truly believe that having people that are analyzing data and feeding this information in real time is, you need to be thinking that way.
Well, I love that, because I think way too many people do the I'm going to protect this because this is my job security is entering these things, whereas giving them time and space to creatively think about how to do their job more efficiently and to eliminate those things. Again, longtime listeners will know that I talk about a couple of different books that really, hit home for me in that regard, which is Essentialism by Greg McKeown. It's just great because it's like, what should you be doing? Not just doing what you've always done, but really evaluating what you should you be doing to make the largest impact. And it sounds like you guys were able to do that with a great partner, which I know, Susan, you've sat quietly for a really long time. Can you tell our audience, Susan, a quick story of somebody other than maybe the Tender Greens team? And I know we've been talking with Sean, but talk to me a little bit about some of the other successes that you've seen that others might have had by implementing these types of solutions. Because what I don't want our audience to walk away with is, Sean's brilliant, he's awesome, I just need to go find Sean and he can go do this for my restaurant brand. Because I know that Sean is awesome and Sean probably could do this for lots of different people, but you know what? He's doing a great job over at Tender Greens. Let's leave him there. It's not all that hard if you've got the right partner and you've got the right product and you got the right vision for what you're trying to do. So can you give us a couple of anecdotal stories of different people that you've seen that have done exactly what Sean's done or something similar to really enhance their business and make it better and create a real difference in their operations and finance team?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the first that comes to mind is a company called Laird Management. And they are one of the largest Burger King franchisees in Arizona. And they were on QuickBooks. And so the challenge was that they needed to have separate chart of accounts. And I should say, actually, because they're a multi-entity. And that's also something that's key. And then because of that, and using QuickBooks, they had to have separate chart of accounts. And they couldn't, and consolidations were a nightmare. And what happened is they had a change of management, and they also had really large growth goals as well. And the new management came in and looked at it and said, we can't grow this way. We're handicapped. Mm-hmm. And so they went searching for another financial software provider that can handle multi-entity and handle their reporting needs and things like that to basically enable growth. And this is pre-COVID, of course. And so they've talked to and looked at a number of different providers. And what they've told me is that when they've asked other franchisees that they've spoken with, what the name that they kept hearing over and over is Sage and Tax, Sage and Tax, Sage and Tax. So that's one of the reasons why they brought us in. And mm-hmm. so they've been a customer of us, customer for now a couple of years, and they have, I think pretty close to doubled actually now the number of entities that they have in terms of their growth, and which is managed. And they've also told me that they've shortened their monthly close by 50%. So wow. they've been able to take resources that were working on just very tedious processes and instead be able to put them into more strategic type of roles and projects and things like that. And in fact, my contact there, who is the controller, has told me that she, because of what because of the resources that they were able to free up and the data that they now had access to as well, that mm-hmm. she was able to take on additional responsibilities in HR. And so then she was actually promoted to finance head, but also HR. And that was in large part enabled by, because she was able to have her team freed up, but also then they also moved into a completely different brand. So they went from Burger King franchisee, which, like I said, which they're still successful in, and then opened up Anytime Fitness as well.
Oh, wow.
Which is very cool. different, but franchisee. So that same business model. And from what they've told me is that was enabled in part by the fact that they were able to free up resources and do more with less, and also having access to the data. And so being able to see performance areas, operational data, to really help them make the decisions that they needed to move in that direction.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that story, Susan. I know at times I'll hear back from our audience that they'll listen to guests and they find it daunting to go, oh my gosh, that's so much. But I think in the end, picking the right partner and really, really having that focus on delivering business solutions back to the operators, the finance, the stakeholders that are in the business is great. Sean, I'm going to ask you one last question because we're bumping up against time. Talk to me about what's next in your relationship with the Sage team and what it is that they have. You know, look at your crystal ball, you know, whether it's, you guys are going to continue to grow, you guys are going to continue to enhance, you guys are going to continue to make things better. What does that look like for you? And what do you hope in that partnership? What do you hope for in that partnership with the Sage team as you guys continue to dig in and drive things a little bit farther?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're working on a pretty big project to continue to automate more tasks internally. My goal is to effectively automate the staff accountant position and to be able to give the person that's in that current position a different opportunity in terms of spending time on analysis. With that being said, you know, there's a lot of functionality that we're going to leverage within Sage Intacct in terms of programming our reports and updating various things internally there. And then really looking at the systems that we have in the ecosystem. I do believe we have implemented some systems that, you know, could use a little bit of refresh. Mm-hmm. So that being said, I think it's important to make sure that you've not only gotten the right partners, but, you know, it's always good to kind of, you know, it's like any car, right? You're not just going to get the car and go, go, go. You're going to check the oil from time to time. You're going to make sure the tires are good. So we're just, you know, it's right now, we're just really dialed in. But I'm always, at the end of the day, I'm always looking for new systems, looking for new ways to partner with Sage Intacct to, you know, help them, help me, help us type of situation. I kind of laugh, you know, me meeting Susan for the first time, it's one of those things that's just ingrained in your head, how clunky and how manual reporting was. And, you know, through the partnership with them, it's literally a night and day. And I was so happy when it was done. I called Susan and I was like, well, you have to see this and you have to see what we've done. And, you know, it was, just to continue to create more magic. I mean, I'm not trying to be salesy, but, I couldn't be happier than where we're at now. And I'm excited for the future. And like I said, I want to be able to get, I mean, look, the future of the back office in terms of accounting is being able to close the books on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So that if I need to know where I'm at today, I know exactly where I'm at today. You know, we currently do a manual weekly flash report. We're looking at our numbers daily, obviously, but there's an overarching flash that we put together to kind of sum up the week. And I'm looking to automate that in such a way where I can provide that data, like that extensive amount of data, all in one place at once. And we do use the dashboard feature within Sage Intacct extensively, and I'm looking to continue to enhance that and really just lean into all of our products. I think that's, I never get complacent. And there was something you said earlier, and something I always tell my team, And it's that just because you did something last year doesn't mean you need to do it this year. And just because you didn't used to do something doesn't mean you can't do it. And, you know, I empower my team to always really, what are you doing? Because at the end of the day, you're the one using the broom. If you want to know how to make the broom work better, you're not going to ask the CEO, you're going to ask the janitor. And that's ultimately what's important here, is making sure you're always talking with your team, making sure that they understand how important their role is. It's not just doing a job, it's understanding the system and understanding how we can be better and faster, you know. And I always involve everyone in every discussion. I think part of the reason why systems get botched upon implementation is because people do it siloed. And that happens in any organization, every organization. I think it now is more important than ever for different departments within itself, for different departments within a company, to really get together, strategize, connect. And when we rolled out the dashboards within Sage Intacct, I went to every single department head and said, what do you need? What do you want to see? And we made that vision come true. And so that's, you know, it's continuing to be better and continue to enhance what we already have, to be honest.
That's great. Well, I think I've gotten you a third job. Not only are you a sales and marketing guy, but I'm going to make you come motivationally speak to my team about thinking outside the box and trying to make things better every day. I love that. So thank you for sharing. Susan, would you mind sharing what it looks like to engage with the team? What would next steps be? So I'm an audience member. I'm sitting out here listening going, you know what? I need this now. I need to engage. I screwed up. I'm still doing it the old way that Sean would articulate earlier. I need to get to a place where I'm in a better spot. Talk to me about what that might look like. Who do they talk to? How do they engage with the team? How do they take their next steps with you guys and move the ball forward if they've been so impressed with what we've had to talk about and where they're going with it?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing I'd recommend is you can definitely go to our website, sageintacct.com, and you'll see under industries, you'll see hospitality. So you can go and see and get a little bit more information about exactly what we do and also see some other case studies. So you can get some additional information that way. Also, anybody that's interested, feel free to contact me directly. My email is susan.casella@sage.com. Feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to answer any questions or connect you to resources within the company. I'm happy to be that starting point as well.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I can't thank both of you guys enough for the wisdom that you guys have been able to deliver out to the audience. And again, it's so cool to watch people partner together to really solve real world problems and help make restaurants better. You know, anybody that's been in the restaurant industry, most of them had a really rough last 18 months. But, you know, and regardless of which side of the fence you fell on, innovating and being different, being better, coming out of this pandemic is something that I love to hear, Sean, that you guys have done. And I really think it's going to make a difference for you guys' brand moving forward. And so with that, is there anything else that we missed talking about today, Sean or Susan, that we would want our audience to hear before we sign off for our conversation today?
Susan, I'll defer to you first if you'd like to say anything.
Nothing additional other than just, you know, thanks for having us on the show. It was a lot of fun and a pleasure. And if any other questions come up, I'm happy to answer.
And then on my end, I mean, I think we covered just about everything. I just want to reiterate the importance of a great partnership, and that goes, you know, with your team, that goes with your vendors, that goes with your systems, that goes with, you know, everything. I think it all starts with people. And, I'm in a very happy place. And I got to be honest, when I first started as a controller, I never thought I'd be so involved in systems. And it just kind of happened organically. And now I don't know how to be a controller or how anyone could really be in the financial world or, you know, in VP of finance or even a CFO, if you're not thinking about systems. I think that I want to drive that point home, that I think systems and technology needs to be the forefront of every company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you hit that point home, because that's really, quite frankly, what we're all about on the show. It's taking, don't implement systems for system's sake. Implement systems to make things better. Understand what it is that you're trying to automate. Understand what it is that you're trying to drive a difference in the business, and use systems to enhance that and accelerate them even more. So Guys, thank you guys so much for coming on to our audience. Guys, as I said at the opening, I know you guys have thousands of choices of podcasts to listen to. So we find it an honor that you guys would spend time with us each and every week when we post one of these to just talk about the things that people are doing. We love getting feedback. So if you guys are out online, shoot us a note, shoot us an email, shoot us a Facebook message or a Twitter message, LinkedIn message, at Rest Tech Guys on all of those platforms. You can talk with us. If you guys have guests that you guys want to send our way, please also send them my way, because we're always looking for new and interesting stories that are coming up. To our guests, Susan and Sean, thank you guys so much. And to our listeners, make it a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. Visit restauranttechnologyguys.com for tips, industry insights, and more to help you run your restaurant better.